been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning. It's the midweek edition of the Best Stocks Now show on this October the 8th. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And we had a mixed open. Now, boy, look at that. We're getting a little bit of lift, a little buoyancy coming into the markets here again. As the NASDAQ now is up 150 points, it's AI stocks doing the trick today. The NASDAQ's at 22,938, closing in on 23,000 for the first time in its history. The Dow is up 13 now. It was down 70, but it's turned around. 46,616 on the Dow. The S&P up 22 to 6,737. Small caps, the Russell 2000 up 3 points to 2,461. Interest rates are down a little bit today. I noted this morning we were down a couple of basis points. We're at 4.11 right now. Gold is hitting an all-time high again of $4,056. It's up another 1.3% today. Crude oil is up 1%, and Bitcoin is down 1,900 to 122,425. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. It almost seems like something happened here just after the market opened. Maybe there's headway on the government shutdown. I don't know. But the Dow was down 70, and now it has surged into the green, Barry. And the NASDAQ, boy, there's just no stopping that thing right now.
I think it might be Jensen's comments on in an interview in terms of, he kind of downplayed the, we keep hearing, I heard a funny person say a couple of days ago, the bubble talk is, we've got a bubble in the bubble talk, because that's all we hear about right now.
Yeah, there's bubble. A bubble in the bubble talk. You're right.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And so, Jensen basically downplayed, that bubble, this morning. We've got NVIDIA making a deal with XAI, and, NVIDIA up 2.2%. And lately, if NVIDIA's up, probably the rest of the market is
I'm not so concerned with the bubble in NVIDIA.
Yeah, right.
It's the companies that are floating convertible bonds to buy Ethereum coins or coins that I've never even heard of before. That's where I have the issue. And some of these long-term stocks that have no prospects for earnings anytime soon. I agree with Jensen Huang. I mean, the good, solid companies, the NVIDIAs and the Netflix and the AMDs of the world, I'm not so much concerned with the bubble there. It's the speculative bubble, which usually appears first, okay, and then the other ones kind of follow. But there's a lot. In fact, I got several examples here today that I'm going to use. The market looked a little tired to me yesterday. It's hard. I mean, you put wood and you get the fire going, and eventually it starts to burn out and it needs new fuel to keep going and more new fuel. And it just seems like at some point the market's going to run out of fuel. But the money continues to pour into gold, $4,056 per ounce today. That's crazy. And, of course, money continues to pour into Bitcoin, although it had a pretty good correction yesterday. Bitcoin's at $122,000. But it's those, as I look out, in the area where I live, the low country, you've got the main bodies of water, the harbor, and the main giant rivers that feed that harbor. But when you get off into the little streams and the creeks and whatnot that are about 1 foot deep, you got to be careful with your navigation around here. That's where this market, the money has spread to, is these little creeks, these little nooks, every place where there's 6 inches or more of water,
that's
there's
a
money
analogy.
Pouring into that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
and the tide can go out real quick.
And guess what? Those little creeks of water are left high and dry, and the oyster beds are exposed, and the mud, the pluff mud, is exposed, and it stinks and everything like that. So. There's where I have issues with the market right now. So I'm not calling it a bubble. I'm calling it, we're still in the sugar high phase, which is creating the bubble, and we're definitely very much so in many areas. There's a sugar high. Okay, I saw Apollo Global Management's chief economist. I always like when these guys check in. I figure they're smarter than me. You know, these guys study one little area of the market for the most part and are very in tune with it. He says that the slower job growth stems from labor supply constraints, not economic weakness. And I would say that there's something to that. I still see help wanted signs everywhere, and you know, they're starting, they're paying more and more to get that help to come in. You know, with kids making millions of dollars in Bitcoin sitting on the couch looking into their iPhone, that's got to create some kind of labor constraint. I mean, you know, you've got obviously a lot of the immigrants, illegal and legal, that have come here. I'm sure that's filling some of those gaps. But it's interesting to hear him, Torsten Slok. He's pretty well known.
Oh yeah,
chief economist, saying the deceleration in hiring reflects weaker labor supply rather than a waning demand, as GDP, consumer spending, and business investment remain robust. He says the bottom line is that the weak labor market is not due to weaker labor demand, but rather to weaker labor supply because of immigration, AI implementation, and a normalization of job growth in the public sector. He says that he explained that under the current pace of economic growth, non-farm payroll should be adding roughly 263,000 jobs per month. However, a sharp slowdown in the growth of the foreign-born labor force, okay, so the border, right, the sealed border, has limited the pool of available workers, while advancements in artificial intelligence are enhancing productivity and reducing the need for additional hires in certain sector. So that's an interesting take on the jobs market right now. Now,
yeah,
as
he's
you
always one of those guys where if I hear, you know, we always talk about having the financial channels on but on mute, and when he pops up, he's usually one. If I've got some time, I'll you know, take it off mute and see what he's got to say for a moment.
Yeah, I don't know. And Torsten Slok, sounds like he might be on the same neck of the woods where some of my ancestors came from. That sounds very right. much Scandinavian to me. So that's another reason I like him. Now, you're talking about this XAI. Okay, this is just another one of Elon Musk's businesses. This is his artificial intelligence startup, XAI. Has been raising more financing than initially planned. And, okay, this is another nook and cranny where money is being thrown at startups. This thing was oversubscribed. They easily raised a massive $20 billion. Okay, so you're throwing money into a private company, but a good one. And again, what gives me the heartburn is money being thrown at small private startups that will maybe probably never see the light of day. That's where my issue is, not with the XAI. And, of course, NVIDIA, Jensen Huang, threw $2 billion at Elon Musk's startup, which is which is his own version of artificial intelligence. Now, remember, there's Anthropic now, there's OpenAI, there's Google's brand of AI, there's now Musk's brand of AI. These different AIs are popping up all over the place and money being thrown at them. And in the end, there will be two or three survivors, okay? That's just the way things work out. But anyways, Jensen Huang is regretting that they didn't give him more than $2 billion. Musk recently appointed a former Morgan Stanley executive as CFO of XAI and X, two of Elon Musk's private companies that have not gone public yet. We'll be right back. The city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done. Welcome back here to the Best Stocks Now show on this Wednesday, October the 8th. Appearing on CNBC, Jensen Huang, 62 years old, said he was excited about the Musk-led company's financing opportunities, and he regretted not giving XAI even more money. But look at this, Barry. He gave XAI $2 billion. So by owning NVIDIA, you have exposure to XAI. But he gave OpenAI $100 billion, or an intention to invest up to $100 billion over in several tranches over time, and of course both of these are private companies. But he's giving OpenAI 50 times what he's giving to Musk. He also regrets not investing more money into CoreWeave. So there's a hot tip for you. We own CoreWeave for about a month. Right after it went public, and it shot up, and I said, you know what, that's a gift from God there. We're going to walk away from that one.
Right. Yeah, take it.
You know, it's like, wow. Okay, and then Wang's comments come just days after a similar deal, of course, with OpenAI, and he also touched on a number of other subjects during his CNBC interview, including the fact he did not know about the deal between AMD and OpenAI. I mean, OpenAI is probably the hottest thing in the world today. It's a private company. It is the source, really. It's the mothership. It's the mothership of AI. And I think you can say Sam Altman is kind of the father of AI. And by the way, I watched the first half, the video portion of the interview between Tucker Carlson and Flynn. I don't know Flynn's first name, but that was just his take. Very interesting. This Flynn guy, who links AI very much so with the occult that invaded rock and roll in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So, anyways, that take a look at that. That's an interesting interview. Wang, who leads the world's most valuable company, also spoke on other subjects and whatnot here. But anyways, OpenAI, NVIDIA, AMD, there's your nucleus right there, pretty much of AI.
Okay, yeah, interesting thing though is this is what I like about Jensen. He's giving, you know, putting in $2 billion, and what are they going to do with the $20 billion they're raising? They're going to use it to lease some NVIDIA chips for, I think, 5 years to build out Colossus 2 data center.
They've already got their next chips, too. They've given a name to them. I can't think of it right now.
It's almost like seller financing. It's kind of interesting. It's hard to tell what the deal is completely because it's in one of these special purpose vehicles, and the purpose of a special purpose vehicle is to be somewhat anonymous anyway. And so it's, you know, we probably won't get the full details of the deal, but it's definitely adding some fuel to the AI flame today.
Okay, another one where I think there's a sugar high. You know, this whole business of sat phones, satellite phones, that's been around for a long time. I mean, growing up in San Diego, you know, these boats that go way offshore fishing, the long-range boats and whatnot, they've had sat phones forever. You know, but it was more of a specialized kind of thing, and you paid a lot more. We had in Point Loma, we had a giant store that sold sat phones to yacht captains that chased tuna during the summertime.
Satellite phone store, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, because there was a huge market. If you ever go to San Diego Harbor and see all of the yachts, big mega yachts, and not so much mega yachts, but fishing boats there in that harbor, they needed sat phones to communicate or to put out a distress message signal, okay? So sat phones are not a new thing. But I suppose the commercialization and the putting sat phones into everybody's hands now on their iPhone, and really that's not a big giant breakthrough either. I mean, T-Mobile's offering it, right? T-Mobile teamed up with Elon Musk Starlink, which means that, you know, you don't need a cell tower. You can get your satellite, you can get your cell phone directly from satellites using Starlink's internet connection. Well, this AST Space Mobile signed a deal today with Verizon. Okay, so Verizon went with them instead of Elon Musk. And AST barely has any sales at all. They've had $3 million in sales, and all of a sudden this is a $29 billion company. These are the kind of bubbles and sugar highs that worry me. This stock's hitting a new all-time high. It's $81 a share. It's up 9% today, hitting a new high. Now, if I thought that this was a new technology, it's out of Midland, Texas. It's not. I mean, this is old technology. It just happens that they signed a deal with Verizon, okay? So Verizon's going to pay them for access to their satellite network at ASTS. I understand that, you know, finally we're seeing the little guy, like ChatGPT. The little guy could get ChatGPT once Microsoft announced it. It's the same with the satellite phone. You know, now you can get it through T-Mobile, who uses Musk Starlink, or you can get it through Verizon using AST SpaceMobile. Will this be a highly profitable venture for ASTS? I'm not so sure about that yet. I don't know that Starlink is that profitable yet, because it costs so much money. Think of the overhead. This isn't like putting up cell towers on Highway 17, right? You're launching satellites.
Right.
This is expensive, expensive overhead and infrastructure to build this network. So,
and development. I mean, R&D even.
Yeah,
you know,
just count me a skeptic on these stocks. But it's surging. As they strike a space-based network partnership with Verizon. Okay, Musk did not. It seems like Musk is in the news every day. And by the way, and you know what? Jensen Huang's other comment was, "I want to be invested in everything Elon Musk does." That comes from Jensen Huang. All right. So obviously that's Neuralink. That's Starlink. It's XAI. It's the company formerly known as Twitter, named X, which someday, I suppose, will be a public company itself. Now, he did not crack, Elon, that is, did not crack the $30,000 mark with the cheaper version of the Model Y, but he did crack the $40,000. $39,990 will get you the cheapest version of the Model Y, which has a 325. So there's your starter call. There's your starter car for your boy in college. Get him a Model Y for $39,990, Barry, and he can come home, see you on the weekends.
Good
and
news,
raid
he can't
your
go
refrigerator.
Too far. Yeah. Yeah, can't go too far.
And he can't get in too much trouble, 325 miles. We'll be right back. Will the top rest don't like
talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Now, we own a few of the sugar highs stocks, although I've got them on a very short leash right now, and I have let go of a few that had some big gains in them. Rocket Labs rallies to an all-time high after signing a new multi-launch contract. Rocket Labs builds very sophisticated types of satellites and launches very sophisticated satellites. They signed another multi-launch deal with the Institute for Kyushu Pioneers of Space, the primary launch provider to deploy their commercial Earth imaging constellation. So there's a lot of rocket talk here that is highfalutin stuff, but let's just look at the stock here today, which we own in our emerging growth portfolio. Rocket Labs, you know, unlike AST Space Mobile, Rocket Labs has done about $500 million in revenue this year, sales. Okay, so they're not quite profitable yet. But it's one thing to have, you know, hardly any sales whatsoever. Obviously, AST SpaceMobile will get a lot of sales eventually from Verizon. Whether or not it's profitable or not remains a question. But Rocket Labs is already, I mean, their most recent quarter, they had $144 million in sales. And their last four quarters have exceeded $100 million in sales. So anyways, RKLB out of Long Beach, California.
Well, I think we had, didn't we have the largest IPO ever involving essentially space or rockets this year at some point? I forget what the company was that came public, but it's been all over the place. I mean, nuclear, small nukes.
Yes, and space. You could throw space into that sugar high stuff. And, of course, Kathy Woods has a ARC fund that is just space-related stocks. And, you know, obviously this is one of those smaller creeks out there on the overall water table that's receiving water right now. And is brimming with shrimp, but when the tide goes out, I mean, these are the ones that will be the most vulnerable. You have to remember that. But it is hitting a new all-time high today. So, that's where the charts come in very handy for me when I kind of start to see that high tide, high water mark, and it start to recede. That's when you want to get out of the creek, or you're going to be high and dry in that thing. I saw a guy one time out here in front of my house. We have a sandbar in the middle of the river. I guess he didn't know about it. He didn't have navigation equipment on his boat. He ran high. He got high and dry on that sandbar. Had to wait till high tide
to get off of it.
Which is a 6-hour cycle. You know, you got to wait 6 hours. Finally, he floated his boat. But when the tide goes out on a stock, it could never come back in. You know, you may have to wait years for it to ever get back to that level and rescue you. So you have to be a little bit careful. One thing that I did send out yesterday, we had somebody transfer a bunch of leveraged single stock ETFs. I would get off the leverage right now. If you're on leverage with single stocks or in any of these sectors or indexes, I'd be a little bit careful with those. Because of this sugar high that we're in. right now. Okay, now, one of the people on CNBC that I do respect, Karen Feinerman, I do listen to her because she's like me. She's been in the trenches with trench warfare for over two decades, I'm sure, and has seen the saw the NASDAQ get clobbered in the year 2000. She says there's an AI land grab going on that's putting stock valuations in a frenzy. She believes that the artificial intelligence sector has become frenetic despite its long-term promise. The investment expert expressed caution about current AI stock valuations, noting that while AI will be enormous for our lives a long time, she's increasingly uncomfortable, this would describe my feeling, with how to assess valuations in what she described as a land grab environment. So she's using a little bit of a different analogy here. It does feel very much like a frenzy, pointing to creative deals like the AMD OpenAI partnership of indicators of the market's heated state. So anyways, despite her concerns, Feinerman acknowledged that her own definition of value in investments has evolved with the market. And she says, I mean, you can cite companies like NVIDIA and Netflix where you don't see that sugar high. I mean, they're definitely expensive. But you can definitely, rationalize premium valuations. But when you get down to these companies with very little in the way of earnings or sales, that to me is where the really troubling area of this market is. So anyways, that comes from Karen Feinerman. Johnson & Johnson's hit. Now, how can a jury... Oh, this woman got mesothelioma from their talc powder, and they awarded her $966 million. Now, this is California. This is Los Angeles. How'd you like to be the guy that ran the ad on TV?
966?
Yeah. They didn't quite think it was worth a billion. But they did award her $966 million because the company's talc-based baby. I'd like to be the attorney that represented her and gets 3% or 30% of that. She got $16 million in compensatory damages and $950 million in punitive damages. That's Johnson & Johnson's going to have to appeal that one.
I mean, how much did they have to pay for the entire suit initially? Because they've certainly settled some. I mean, that's a large number.
They should have settled. I'm sure they offered her something, and she said, no, let's roll the dice. And the dice came up $966 million, which... How do you arrive at that number? I'd like to see where it comes out on appeal.
I mean, granted, it's hard to. You can't really put a value on a life, but it's at some point, I mean, that's what they're doing, and so that's a pretty
A major headwind for Johnson and Johnson, yeah. Right? April, a federal judge in Texas denied the company's third attempt to resolve the claims through a Chapter 11 bankruptcy of a specially created unit established to settle the cases. So they would love to get it all just settled and out and get that overhang because they've got all these ticking time bombs out there like this, not counting if Tylenol, which was a Johnson & Johnson product, as far as I remember, does cause or is linked to, I haven't seen the science on that yet, is linked to autism. That's another huge cloud hanging over Johnson & Johnson's head. All right, now here's where we get into
the institutional. You want to guess what the institutional ownership real quick is for Johnson?
They own every share of Johnson & Johnson.
73%.
Yeah, and that's a problem because how do you move the stock? The only thing is to go out of the stock, really.
Right.
You're not going to blow, but it has had a pretty good 12-month period of time. But, you know, over the last 10 years, it's been pretty much a disaster. Now, here's where we get into this Bubblicious. I get emails almost every day about some new product being brought to the market by, oh, whether it's Putnam, whether it's this distributor or that distributor. Aries Management, I saw this one yesterday, and I see it in the news today. They're doing private infrastructure. Now, Barry, I would say the same thing about private infrastructure companies. Why do you need to invest in private infrastructure companies when there's a plethora of public infrastructure companies that have immediate liquidity? It's the same thing as the private REITs that I don't think turned out very well, in my opinion. Those non-traded REITs had a buzz about them because, oh, boy, this is something like private label on the shelf. Only certain people are allowed to buy this stuff. You got to know somebody. No, these are private companies, highly illiquid. Why would you buy private infrastructure companies when you can go out and buy some of the best proven public ones in the world? It's just, there's your sugar high. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. A little bit more sugar high stuff here that I wanted to bring up. Let's see. We've got a couple of them jumped off the page at me here today. Nano Nuclear raises $400 million in an oversubscribed private placement. Okay, there you go, Barry. I mean, there is so much of an appetite and so much demand for anything. And, of course, nanonuclear, all right, so let's look at the I own a little bit of nanonuclear in my the same shoebox where I keep the lottery tickets and the you know, the futures on who's going to win the Super Bowl, stuff like that, you know, your long-term bets. Nano's down 12.2% today because they're doing a secondary offering. They're floating more shares. I saw an article today, a company in Nevada, probably a rare earth miner, they got approval to raise their authorized shares to 1 trillion.
Just in case.
So they've got a printing press down in the basement printing shares and floating them, and they're usually oversubscribed when they put them out there for sale. Everybody makes money. The printer of the stock certificates, the brokers that sell them, there's big, big money in doing a secondary offering to the firm that does it. I mean, you have to distribute it. You have to sell those shares, so the company hires an investment banker, sometimes the big guys, the Goldman Sachs of the world, and they charge a fee. They charge lots of fees. That's all that M&A type stuff that you hear about. Now, Nano has zero in the way of sales, NNE. They have zero in the way of earnings, obviously. Without any sales, you can't have earnings. You're burning money. It's a $2 billion market cap. And then hopefully, you know, they come up with something. They're trying to develop portable. You know, look, you can fire up your smoker at the church picnic with the little portable nuclear reactor, Barry. The pig is done in 30 seconds. It's a little on the blackened side, but dang. You know, that's a big deal around here doing whole pigs, right? Whole pig. Oh, man, is that good stuff. Wow. They smoke it all night long, you know. But now you can get a little portable nuclear over at the Home Depot. Anyways, it's down 13%. But, you know, when I teach the CAN-SLIM acronym, the S in CAN-SLIM is shares outstanding. you don't want a whole lot of shares outstanding because it gets very difficult to move a ship. There's got to be a lot of demand to come up to sop up that supply of shares that are out there. I can't even imagine a trillion shares, unless they're a penny a piece or 2 cents a piece. But this floating of shares, why is Nano down 13.4%? They just diluted everybody with the private placement of $400 million, okay? Now, another sugar high thing that I'm seeing happening is these companies that have no business plan whatsoever, you know what they're doing? They're circulating tokens. They're buying tokens. Or they're using the money to buy, down the line cryptos, not Bitcoin, but way down the line. You know, they're getting into the Dogecoin category. Safety Shot, which had a product supposedly, if somebody over indulges at the bar on a Friday night, they can give themselves a shot. Supposedly, this was the hype behind the company, and it sobers them up, and they'll pass the blood test in case they get pulled over on the way home. Well, it hasn't worked out. So now they're circulating Bonk tokens.
Bonk?
Yes. It's a meme coin platform, letsbonk.fun. So Safety Shot. No, so this is the sugar high type of stuff. This is the tributary off of the tributary that rarely sees water, only in extreme high tides, king tides, which we're having one today. I'm watching it out my front door here, or back window on the river.
This is about Shot.
This rapid. Is crazy stuff, right?
Shot was called a rapid alcohol reducer.
It'll sober you right up. You know, I'll
it's
tell
like
you what
Narcan,
else.
Narcan for for alcohol. I
when the that. Tide starts going out on some of these little streams like we're seeing, that'll sober you right up too if you're invested in them. Here's another one. This was a weed stock, Flora Growth. Now they're acquiring 772,000 OZG tokens. How much is it? Is this like a Pokemon kind of thing, token, and they're going to pivot. They're going to rename the company Zero Stack. They announced the purchase of 772,000, and they just raised $400 million in an offering to buy these Zero G tokens. At $38.85 per share. Now, this is the crazy stuff.
And the stock's up 7%, which is the sugar high you're talking about.
Yeah, and how about the people that gave them $400 million in a private placement to get shares in this thing? Here's the company, Nevada, here's another one, accepts FG Nexus. This is FGNX. You can look that up. They got approval by the Nevada and their articles of incorporation to increase the company's authorized shares to $1 trillion. Okay. What's it trade at? FGNX, like 3 cents a share or something like that. It's a piece of nuclear waste. Okay, here's another one. Bit Digital, BTBT, acquires 31,000 Ethereum coins using $150 million convertible notes offering. So some M&A advisor does this offering, packages it, sells it to folks, and now they own a bunch of Ethereum coins through their convertible notes. There's the sugar high area, and when I see this is very, very troubling at the outer reaches of the market there. All right, keep yourself safe out there. There's some small craft warnings flying right now coming from Gunderson Capital. Even though the market continues to hit new highs, gold hits new highs, to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST. To get the newsletter, 4-week trial with the live trades, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.